My good morning to dear family. I'm so thankful that today I have the opportunity to share the Word of God with you. I remember 1.5 years before when we came to know that we are coming here in USA, and me and my wife, we started praying. And we had two prayers on our lips. The first one was that the Lord will bring us to a church family where we can feel home. And the second prayer was that we will find a good school for our children. Well, praise God, both prayers are heard. We have found the family, and we have found the good school for our children. This year, Joshua Faraz also going to school. So we are so blessed being here. And I believe that the Lord is going to bless us as we hear from His Word. As a church family, we are looking at portraits of grace. Someone told me that portraits is different from picture. Portrait is, if you want to make portrait, it takes effort. You need a lot of ingredients. It just doesn't happen. So we are looking at these portraits from the Bible. First time we looked at Enoch. The Lord gave him grace that he walked with him for more than 3.5 years. 350 years, more than that. And last Sunday we looked at Hannah. The Lord gave him grace to surrender herself, not just the present, but her future. Do you remember that? Okay. Today we are looking at the life of Joshua. Portrait of grace, Joshua. And we are looking at his life to know that how the Lord gave him grace to go on what the Lord had told him to do. See, in our Christian life, we need grace every single day, every single minute. So before we go into our lesson, let's stand and read the passage we have for today. It's Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 9. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I gave to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto the father, their fathers, to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, and then thou shalt make thy way prosper, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Let's pray. A great God and merciful Heavenly Father, Thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for life of Joshua. Today we are going to learn from him. Lord, we pray that as we are listening, our hearts and our minds will stay here. Our thoughts may not be distracted by the worries we are carrying in our lives, but we will diligently be able to listen and observe what your word has to say to us today. We are here and we believe you are here because you have said so. Thank you very much for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All portraits of grace. I believe that by the end of this lesson, we will be able to understand that each one of us have a calling from the Lord. Every single person who believes in Jesus Christ has a calling. And we will also be able to understand that we will have faith and obedience even stronger than we have now. And we will be able to understand that God will be with us in every season of difficulty. Now imagine if you are a general in the army in a crucial battle, and the soldiers are exhausted, the supplies are running short, and the enemy is approaching very fast. What would you do? Would you doubt? Would you think that it's very hard for you to proceed on? You may think, I should surrender. It's better I should surrender. And you will find it very, very difficult for you to move forward. The worries will capture you, and you are tempted to surrender. When we are walking Christian life, we sometimes are trapped by the same kind of situation where we can't decide what to do. Sometimes we just think it's better to surrender, and we do not know how to move forward. And we start doubting. We start saying, why the Lord brought me at this place, in this position? Why? And then we start doubting, and the worry captures our mind. And doubtful and discouraged we become. And when we read the first chapter of Joshua, we are encountered with the same kind of story. The nation of Israel is in the worst situation of their history. The leader, Moses, has died. And the nation is worried that if the new leader will come, will he have the same favor from the Lord? Will he have the same blessing that Moses had? So they are worried. And there was another time when they were in the same situation. You remember, in front they had Red Sea, and on the back they had Egyptian army. Pharaoh's army is following them to take them back to their country and make them slaves. This was another situation where they were so much worried, and maybe they were so scared. We also have sometimes in our Christian walk, we face these kind of situations. Can we remember in our lives when we were in the same kind of situation? I can recall so many times when I questioned why the Lord has brought me here. I was working with multinational organization, preaching the gospel with students in university. I had a group of disciples. And the Lord told me, leave everything. I was receiving handsome money. Churches were supporting me. I received a call. Leave everything and join a church. Be a pastor. Well, the problem is this. If the Lord is elevating your position, it's very easy to know that this is God's will. But if the Lord is telling you to leave everything and adopt something which values a little bit less than you had before, then you start praying. Is this the Lord's will? And this is the crucial moment when you start doubting, when you start thinking, when you start, just you stop everything. I remember I wrote an email to my 10 friends, whom I believe that they were my close friends, they were my mentors. I told them the whole situation, and only one of them responded. He said, "Go forward. I'm praying for you." And that was an encouragement. I took a step. Let's think about yourself. What would you do if you are in this type of situation where you find yourself difficult to make decision? You're thinking, wow, why the Lord brought me here at this point? This is what Joshua is dealing here. He's having trouble. But there are things we will learn from Joshua's life. And the first one is, the numeral number one is, remember God's calling. When we are in this kind of situation, we must remember God's calling. The devil is always trying to convince us that we are mistaken about what God wants us to do. When those doubts come, we must not keep thinking on them. Doubts are always there. Difficult times are always there. But we must not keep thinking on them and give them room in our minds. For Joshua, like Joshua, we must remember that God has called us for purpose. Even though God has an amazing plan for each one of us, we still endure hardships. This is Christian life. Jesus said, "I have seen troubles and you will see troubles." For Joshua, the leader, who was not stranger to these trials, Joshua was called in the difficult times of the nation. This was the most difficult time of the history of Israel. So the numeral A is the difficult time. If you look at verse number one, it says, "Now, after the death of Moses." Well, this was the difficult time. Joshua was called to be the new leader of Israel after Moses' death. We all remember that Joshua has seen Moses leading the nation for 40 years. God spoke to Moses in burning bush. God did miracles. 10 plagues were brought by Moses on the nation of Egypt because God wanted to deliver his people. 10 commandments were given by Moses. And the Bible says that he spoke God face to face as a man speak to man. There is no one in the Bible who about whom these phrases written. Moses spoke to God face to face. In my language, we say Kalimullah. Kalimullah, who's someone who speaks to God face to face. There is no one in the history of the Bible who spoke face to face. And then Moses was the one who brought manna from heaven. He prayed, and the Lord fed his people for 40 years from heaven. Moses was the one who parted the sea. He split the sea in two halves. Who can do that? It was God who did it because Moses' obedience. And the last, but not the least, if you read Exodus chapter 34, verse 28 and 29, it says, it's in your notebook, I think. Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread and drinking water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the commandment. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant of the law, covenant law in his hand, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. So Joshua had seen Moses serving God in a powerful way, in a powerful way. And you can imagine the fear Joshua had at that time when he knew that he had to play the role of Moses. Fulfilling his role was not an easy thing for Joshua, because he had seen him doing great, great things. Do you remember three times God punished people with death because they spoke against Moses? Well, this was the leader he had to, whose duties he had to do. So he was fearful. Joshua had seen Moses being used by God incredibly. Just imagine that, his fear of fulfilling the role of Moses. But God didn't want Joshua to remember the past or compare himself with the former leader. We should be thankful for the past life, but the Lord doesn't allow us to stay in the past. We must not allow our past defeat to live in a defeated mindset. And we should also not keep our past victories to hold us back from working hard. We can sometimes think, in the past, I have been successful, so there is no need to work hard. So God is wanting Joshua to move forward, forgetting the past and work ahead, move on with the future. As if you read in your notebook, it says, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ." The children of Israel had to obey God. They had to forget their former leader, and they had to accept the new leader, the dedicated man. This man was called in the difficult time, but he was a dedicated man. Look in the verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun." God chose a man to lead his people. Well, he didn't choose a robot. He didn't choose machine. He didn't choose denomination. He didn't choose any organization. Whenever God wants to move his agenda forward, he always chooses people. Do you remember he chose Moses? He chose Abraham. He chose Elijah. You name any person in the Bible and you can tell that he was chosen for a particular and specific purpose. God has a call. So when God wants to do his will, he wants to accomplish something, he always chooses men. And the Lord chose Joshua. In Psalm 75 verse 6 says that God is entirely in control of who is put in position and who is removed from position. Psalm 71 verse 6 and 7 says, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He put down one and set up another one." But the question is, there were many hundreds and thousands of young men in the army. Why Joshua? Why God chose him? Why God would select just one person and his name is Joshua? I can tell you, he was approved by God. If you read Exodus chapter 17, you will know that Joshua was the one who defeated Amalekites. So we can say that he was already in the army of God, acting as a faithful soldier. And I believe this is the key, why God chose him. Do you think the Lord will choose somebody who's sitting idle? Just imagine deacons meeting and Pastor Josh is speaking. And he's saying, Brother ABC hasn't come to church for last 1 year, but let's call him and do the Sunday school ministry here. How many would raise hand and agree with him? I wouldn't be agree with him. Well, this is the key. God chose Joshua because he was already actively serving as a faithful servant of the Lord. And how? If we look in the Bible, I can name you Noah. God chose him to save his generation. And Joseph, while he was serving as a steward, God gave him the stewardship of Egypt so that he can save his nation, his people. Moses was already having the burden for his people. Do you remember he killed the Egyptian man who was beating Israelites? He already had the heart. He was already serving, and the Lord called him. Elisha was plowing the field when Elijah called him to be part of his ministry. Peter, James, and John, they were fishing when Jesus called them, hey, come, I will make you the fisher of men. And the last one, but not the least, Saul and Barnabas. Do you remember? They were actively serving in the church when the Lord spoke to the church leaders, separate these two men for me. So this is not unusual that the Lord has selected this particular young man to accomplish his will for the nation of Israel. And the very famous story of regarding Joshua. Do you remember the story of 12 spies? How many brought the confident report? Do you remember? Only two. One of them was Joshua and the other was Caleb. Joshua was the one who brought confident report. Numbers 14, chapter 14, verse 8 and 9 says, if the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone. But the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Joshua was a faithful servant. Joshua chapter 1 verse 1 says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. He was actively involved. He was Joshua's minister. I wonder why the Lord didn't call him the general of the army. Why? Because he was already actively involved in the army and he was winning the battle for the Lord. But the Lord called him Moses' minister. Well, the greatest, God is looking for men who will humbly do their part in the service. And this is why God could choose Joshua. He did whatever Moses commanded him to do. And he was willing to do everything Moses would tell him to do. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 11 and 12, it says, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. He was Moses' servant, minister. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. In the difficult time of Israel history, God called a dedicated man who was faithful servant and used him for his direct purpose. But you may remember the story of 12 spies, but can you think of anything else which made Joshua qualify to become the next leader after Moses' death? In his life story, we read that he was a faithful servant. But there is one thing which is unique, which has never ever been said about anyone else. And this has been said for Joshua. This is not in your notes. Let me read it for you. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, it says, "The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but this young aide, Joshua, son of Nun, didn't leave the tent." Do you know the significance of this? Do you know what was the tent? Tent was a tabernacle. Tent was a tabernacle. Tabernacle was the place where God met Moses. Tabernacle was a place where people looked at and they knew now they have to stop and now they have to leave. Well, tabernacle was the place where they placed the Ark of Covenant. The tabernacle was the place where Moses would go in, speak to God, and come back and tell the people what the Lord has told him. And it says, Moses spoke to God face to face, and then he would leave the tent. But young man Joshua would stay there. Why would he stay there? There were seven things in the tent. The ark of burning offerings, laver at the basin. And there was table of showbread. There was lampstand. There was altar of incense. And there was the ark of covenant. And there was mercy seat. How many of you know about mercy seat? Mercy seat is a place where God and Moses met. They talked. And the Lord, when the Ark of Covenant was being built, the Lord said, "I will speak to you, Moses, from that mercy seat." And this young man, Joshua, stayed there all of his life. If not all of his life, most of the time, he would stay there. The Lord was preparing this young man quietly, silently, unknowingly. There are people in our church, the Lord is preparing them unknowingly to be leader, to be somebody who will take the gospel, who will become dedicated man and woman. The Lord is looking for those people. The Lord is working in the hearts of people. Well, the third one is, he was a dedicated man, and this dedicated man has the direct purpose. Joshua chapter 1 verse 2 says, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites." God gave Joshua his marching orders. This was his purpose. He had to take the nation of Israel and have them enter into the promised land. Now, before I move on, let me ask you a question. Moses could also do that. He could also take these people to the promised land. Why God took Moses and placed Joshua? He said, "Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. Now you have to take this nation into the promised land." Why? Well, you must remember, God is almighty. He could save Moses. He could have kept him alive. There was no reason. I mean, humanly speaking, his sin was not that big. The only sin he committed was he had to speak, but he smite the rock. Well, this was his sin. This sin was not bigger than the sin of David. Do you remember David's sin? So why? Why God took Moses? I mean, he was not diabetic. He was not sick. Physically, at that age, he was much more better than us all. So why God took him? Hard question. Hard question. God gave direct purpose to Joshua. Now remember one thing. This is what the Lord told me. Moses didn't have the ability to take this nation into the promised land spiritually. Do you know why? Because Moses represents law. And Joshua represents grace. Do you remember John chapter 1? Gospel of John chapter 1? The law came with Moses and the grace came with Jesus. And you remember the name? Well, Jesus is the name in the New Testament. But if you go back to New Old Testament, this Jesus is Joshua. Joshua is type of Christ. This is the reason why God gave this purpose to Joshua. Because law cannot take you into the promised land, even now. Still today, if you want to go into the kingdom of God, law cannot take you. So God had to take away Moses and tell the people, well, my Joshua will take you into the promised land. And God has done this in the New Testament. He has taken away Moses and he has replaced that Moses with Joshua. So now if you want to go into the promised land, who would you trust? Joshua, Jesus, not Moses. See, this is what I believe. The Lord told me, well, this is why I took Moses and I gave my purpose to Moses, to Joshua. Because law is not able to take us into the promised land. Well, the Lord gave Joshua direct purpose, and he didn't give him without provision. The Lord provided everything he needed. Numeral number two is, remember God's provision. Have you ever wondered, how can I do what God is wanting me to do? When God spoke to me about little flock, I wondered, how can I do this? And we didn't know that the Lord is working. Because when worry captures your mind, you cannot see the Lord's provision. We didn't know this. And we were praying in our family what to do. One day the provision came. Miraculously. One day the provision came. The Lord worked. In every situation when we trust the Lord, he is there. He is there to provide. There is a very famous phrase that says, when God guides, he provides. He's not providing, that means he's not guiding. With Lord's calling comes his enabling. He doesn't call you to do something which you can't do. And if he calls you to do something, that means he will enable you. Maybe the Lord is asking you to go and give your testimony to your coworker. And you're just wondering, how can I do that? Maybe the Lord is telling you, hey, increase what you're giving for mission. And you're looking at your budget. We do that. But when the Lord speaks, he speaks with enabling, not just words. Joshua's life tells us that the Lord provides. He called Joshua and he gave him direct purpose, and he also provided. Well, let's see what God provided him now. Provision of the land. Joshua chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of Hittites, and unto the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your inheritance. Well, what a wonderful provision. The Lord provided land for Joshua. They say that it was 300,000 square miles. This land which the Lord was going to give them, it was 300,000 square miles. Quite a big land. But do you know how much they claimed? Your rough guess may be 50%, maybe 60%, or maybe 70%. Well, the sad story is they claimed only 10% of the land. Can you relate this to your Christian life? Have we ever been able to claim all the promises of God? 100%? No. For myself, I can say no. Because there are some provinces, promises of God, which I think I cannot avail them. Because my faith is so little, I can't claim them, even I tried to. This is Christian walk. This is Christian life. In our Christian life, we don't have enough faith to claim all the promises we have. But the Lord has promised us. They only claim 10%. Many of us have never claimed God's promises for us. We know them all, but we do not exercise. We do not have enough faith to claim them. Numeral B, provision of protection. God said, I will protect you. Chapter 1, Joshua, verse number 5, it says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. This was God's promise to Joshua. And I believe this is God's promise for you and me too. Now think of your adversary. What is your adversary? Financial problems? You can't find a job like me? I'm struggling to find a job for me. For the last 3 months, I can't find a job. Family circumstances? What is your adversary? Think. We all have adversary. But the Lord said, no, none of the adversary will stand against us if we trust him. The problem is not our adversary. The problem is our. We cannot trust him enough. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, 7 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8, chapter 37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conqueror through him that loved us. We need to keep our confidence in the Lord himself. If we are in the center of the Lord's will, following that he wants us to do, nothing that God does not will allow will come against us. We can rest in the comforting safety of our God. Numeral C, provision of God's presence. The Lord said, I will go with you. chapter 1, verse 5, it says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. For me, the dominant word in this verse is, as I was with Moses. This is comforting. As I was with Moses. Well, Joshua had seen how God was with Moses. If I was Joshua, I wouldn't have any problem having faith. If the Lord is with me, as he is with Moses. Great assurance the Lord has given us. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, it says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? If God is leading you, I believe if the Lord is leading us into a difficult situation, he is almighty. He is powerful enough to come out of that situation. Well, he's powerful enough. He will provide a way for us to come out of that situation. But I also believe that when the Lord has brought you in some situation where you find it's difficult, he has a purpose. He will not let you in difficult time without purpose. We faced difficult problem 2 months ago. My friends back in my country, they were having troubles sending us the magazines. And I was scared. We were praying, the church family, every Saturday we prayed for them. And just 2 weeks ago, I heard that the Lord has given them a solution which was far, far, much, much better. They were having difficulty to post the magazine. And now they are able to post the magazine 25% with 25% less money. We were afraid and we were worried. The Lord made way for us. If the Lord is bringing us into a difficult situation, well, he's molding you. He's hammering you. Amen. Do you know there are many, many words are used for the Bible. It's a mirror, it is a lamp, but it is also a hammer. You go and find out where it says that the Bible is a hammer. So maybe God is using hammer to shape you after his son. So this is God's presence in the difficult times. Well, God has made so many promises, wonderful promises. But he has his requirements as well. God didn't give only the provisions, not only the purpose, but he also gave some requirements to Joshua. Let's see those requirements. Verse number 1, Joshua. It's verse number 6. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now, what was the requirement? The requirement was courageous faith. Now, what is courageous faith? I remember I was 16 years old, and the first time I went to distribute Bibles, I was giving Bible to somebody like this. Do you think this is courageous faith? I believe this is. I believe this is. This is courageous faith. You've never done this before, and you are taking initiative. You're taking initiative. You're believing. Your body's not cooperating with you. But your mind, your faith is pushing you forward like this. So I believe this is courageous faith. Even in your broken words, just tell people. In your broken words, that's courageous faith. Courageous faith is that you are acting upon the promises of God. That's a simple definition. There is no need of any example. There is no need of testimonies. Courageous faith. Courage is when you do something you don't feel like doing. You think you are unable to preach. You think you are unable to hand out the tracts. Just go and do it. Do it. This is courageous faith. Hebrew 1:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen." A dad took his 3-year-old boy to show him how to fly kite. And the 3-year-old boy, he didn't know. He didn't know how to fly kites fly. But he said, but when he saw kite flying in the air, he shouted, "Wow, it's flying. It did. Dad, I knew it would fly because you said so." Because daddy said, the kite will fly. Because the daddy said, I can go and preach the gospel. Because the daddy said, I can trust. Our Heavenly Father is much more powerful than my dad. Our Heavenly Father is much more powerful. He's almighty. He's the creator and sustainer of this world. He not just created it, but he's sustaining it. So we need to trust him. Ronald Reagan said once, "If we ever forget that we are one nation under God, then we will be nation gone under." This is our belief. If we do not have faith, then we will be gone under. Numeral B is complete obedience. Courageous faith, complete obedience. Verse number 7. "Only be thou very strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee unto. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." These instructions from God contained a requirement for Joshua and promises of God. Take note to observe to do. We do not think that we come here to study the Word of God so that we can fill our mind with information. We believe that we learn the Word of God so that we can do it. Observing is doing. James chapter 1 verse 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceive your own self." That's why when Joshua, then God said, if Joshua obey, the Lord will prosper him, which means the prosperity comes with the obedience. You cannot accomplish God's will without obedience. God blessed Joshua because he had great faith that demonstrated complete obedience to God. But there was another requirement for Joshua and for us too. And that is continual meditation. Continual meditation. The very famous verse of the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, if then thou shalt make thy way prosper, and then thou shalt have good success." Meditation is to think about, to ruminate, meditate. I believe meditation prepares us for obedience. If you can meditate on the Word of God, you will become more ready to do God's will. The last week I was asking somebody, well, Sister Marilyn, she invited us to her home for dinner. And when we ate the dinner, I said goodbye to Sister Marilyn, and I said, Sister, I have eaten for 3 days, and thank you very much. The food was very delicious. On third day, I called her, and I said, Sister, I just finished my breakfast. And I said, Camel is not better than me. If Camel can store food in his hump, I can also store food. And she said, she reminded me something very special. She said, Farooq, don't be Camel. You are a Christian. You should be Buffalo. You know what's the difference? Buffalo and Camel? No? Camel can store food in his hump. He can drink more water, and he can store water in his hump. And he can live without water many, many days. Well, when buffalo eats, she chew her cud. That's meditation. So don't be Camel Christian. Be a Buffalo Christian. That's the meditation. Buffalo Christian. Every day, read your Bible, meditate on it. This was a requirement. This was not a request for Joshua. George Muller said once, the most important thing I had to do was to read the Word of God, to meditate on it. Thus, my heart might be comforted. Comfort comes from meditating on the Word of God. John Jay, the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, said once, the Bible is the best book of all books, for it is the Word of God and teaches us to obey, to be happy in this world and next. The only reason of moral decay is when people go away from the Bible. As soon as you leave the Bible behind, you will see in your life moral decay. The Lord is calling us for His purpose, with His provision, and with His protection. Let's always remember and be courageous to remember all these things. Let's pray.